Today we continue our discussions with the chief executives of some of the UK's and the world's leading sight loss charity. Today we head to Canada to speak with John Rafferty from the CNIB. It's review time, and I know it's a bit of a tricky one to say to guys like yourself. 2017, what was it like?
2017 was a great year. I actually did a bit of thought ahead of time this year because I always get kind of tripped up when you ask me these questions because there are always so many things happening. But this year, I think we were pivotal for a couple of big reasons for us in Canada. I'm trying to think when you and I first talked about the discussions around vision loss and rehabilitation and where it sat in the Canadian kind of healthcare landscape. And we began a journey many years ago to transition vision loss rehab away from a charitable umbrella and a charitable brand and put it where it belongs within a healthcare organization. And we're really pleased that this was the year that that all kind of came to completion. We launched Vision Loss Rehabilitation Canada. It's its own separate entity. It has its own board. It's funded by healthcare. And this year, so far, we've had in December? So we will have had about 8,000 people referred to vision loss rehab. And these 8,000 people have never had the kind of that link between CNIB as a charity and their needs as someone who's losing their sight. So I think it's the beginning of that change. And, you know, 5 years from now, 50,000 Canadians will have had rehab for their vision loss and none of them would have had to go for a charity for those services.
Is that because people were perhaps apprehensive about feeling they had to go to a charity for help?
Well, I think it was a double-edged sword. I mean, we were fundraising for basic healthcare needs, which we shouldn't have been doing. And we were inadvertently layering kind of stigmas associated with blindness into the healthcare system by having people having to be referred to a National Institute for the Blind, which, you know, doesn't lend itself to somewhere where, you know, someone losing their sight would feel very comfortable going to for, you know, for rehabilitation needs. So now that rehab kind of is much softer, it's into a funded place with certified healthcare professionals. And I think that it's the beginning of changing the story around blindness and healthcare needs.
So, you know, rehabilitation, helping those who have lost their sight, that's going to make a huge difference. And 8,000 this year is quite a big number as well. So, you know, I can understand why when we ask CEOs like yourself to pick some highlights, it's a tricky one because there are so many gains.
Yeah, there are. And this is one which isn't particularly sexy, if you use that word, but it isn't particularly jump up and down, but I think it's going to make a fundamental difference in the journey of issues relating to blindness for people in the country. So I think that that's a really, really good point. Another one, which is almost the exact opposite of that, which is that CNIB is now in the dog business, and we have puppies everywhere now, it seems. So a very different end of the scale. So we launched a guide dog school earlier in the year. We have our first puppies very soon to be coming out of the puppy raising homes to get the next stage of training with guide dog mobility instructors. And, you know, it's a fairly long cycle to take a puppy and turn them into an amazing guide dog. So it'll be later in 2018 that we start placing those first guide dogs with people here in Canada.
It is a life-changing thing. As someone who has a guide dog and has used guide dogs for several years now, they do make a massive difference, not just in terms of mobility, but independent mobility, confidence building as well. It's so much more than just having eyes helping you around.
It absolutely is. I mean, a dog isn't for everyone, and we're not suggesting that, but dogs create more inclusion for the individual than a cane does. They both are perfectly good mobility aids. A dog being obviously a obstacle avoider, whereas a cane is an obstacle detector. But so they have a very different sense to them. But anecdotally, and I know that kind of on the emotional side, you know, people will cross the street to talk to you because of your guide dog, whereas they would tend to kind of give you a wider berth if you've got a cane. And that creates kind of this emotional level of connection that a dog provides that makes it a really inclusive device.
Have there been challenges then in 2017 for CNIB?
There always are challenges. We're still struggling to find the right place for the creation of accessible materials within the world of Marrakesh and within our government's views on publishing. And so that continues to be a challenge. We're working actively with the government also in creating Canadian disability legislation, which is, you know, interesting conversations. And I think we're going to come out the other end in a very positive place. And, you know, running an organization that is dependent upon so many people as donors and volunteers always has, you know, tremendous amounts of joy, and but also significant challenges. It's a very competitive space, that of charities and volunteerism. And we've been very blessed this year, so it's been a great year. But it nonetheless is something you've got to work hard at all the time.
Okay, so what about 2018? I mean, there's so much happened this year so far for CNIB. Are there new plans for 2018 or areas of growth perhaps for 2018?
Yeah, so 2018, we launch our next strategic plan, looking at creating some bold plans around that. We have three key ambitions. The first one revolves around boosting employment and everything linked to employment. And you're going to see us really shift away from some of the more traditional ways of underpinning employment and put more emphasis in entrepreneurship, in access to technology, and in the inclusive workspace. So that's going to be a big priority. Unleashing technology for people generally is going to be a big priority as well. So we're going to see some significant investments in both of those areas, which should be fun. We turn 100 in March, so a lot of these new initiatives are going to be launched in April as we start our second century. And I think that you're going to see a significant change in both the areas of the percentage of people that have technology and also in people being able to find work. That's going to be our key driver as we go into our next century.
Well, congratulations on the centenary coming up in March. I'm sure we'll hear more about that as we go into 2018, John. And when we look at 17 and 18, you know, you mentioned funding and you mentioned donors and so on. It's a constant challenge to bring in money to develop or grow services. Would you say it's also a challenge to find new ways of doing that? And has CNIB been successful so far?
We are definitely increasing our emphasis on, you know, kind of the term in Canada and probably in the UK is social enterprise. So what businesses and areas of work should we be in that we can generate income from to help create more of a self-sustaining approach to the programs that we run? You know, we have, you know, thousands of one-on-one volunteers called Vision Mates that meet individually with clients on a weekly basis. We have, you know, amazing kids camp programs. But if we want to spend more money on technology, if we want to grow employment more, then, you know, we need to continue to grow new revenue streams. So social enterprise is definitely a focus for us. And making sure that the community understands the impact that we have with the dollars that we get given, because I think that we're an amazing social investment in Canada, and we just have to find better ways to shout about it.
Do you think corporate responsibility will play a part in tying up with companies? In the UK, we have the likes of RNIB who have had campaigns with the optician Specsavers, UK-wide chain, and Guide Dogs in the UK had a year-long tie-up with Toyota, amongst others. Is that the way that CNIB looks at things as well? Do you look for these big corporate tie-ups as well?
Yeah, we do. Corporations have responsibilities around their social investment, and we certainly benefit from a lot of support in those areas. But the challenge with the linking yourself to any one corporation too tightly is you push aside potentially other ones. So our engagement, we've been, you know, very fortunate because of our centenary coming up. Our engagement with corporates has been linked around our centenary over the last while. And as we move through celebrating that, then we'll be looking for new partnerships. But corporate tie-ups can be a challenge, certainly for us in Canada.
Okay, finally, John, it's a tricky one when I always ask that the chief execs if they have something which has stood out for them over 2017. A tricky one, I'm sure, but anything, any one single thing you could think of?
I think probably my favourite thing, and it's one of my favourites most years, but certainly was this year. We do kind of a radio interview piece with the kids who won our Braille writing competitions and talk to them about this, either the stories or the poems that they wrote. So this year's crop was particularly great. There was an amazing and funny kid from Ottawa, Ontario, that wrote a great piece, and just interviewing the kids and seeing how engaged they were, I think probably stands out on top.
John, if people would like to learn more about CNIB, then how do they go about doing that?
Twitter is a great one to follow from afar. Our Facebook page has always got lots of great content. And for the old-fashioned types like me, you can even go to our website at cnib.ca. So follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or go to our website.
We're coming to the end of the year. We'll continue to follow developments at CNIB into 2018 and beyond. But for the moment, we'd like to wish everyone at the charity there a very Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and thanks once again for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan, and a very Merry Christmas to everybody in the UK.